Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a mid-bass humanize framework in Ableton Live 12 for warm tape style grit, tuned for jungle and old-school DNB vibes. The big idea here is simple, but powerful. We want the bass to feel alive, a little worn, a little imperfect, and full of character, without wrecking the low end or turning the whole mix into mush. So instead of just making the bass dirty, we're going to make it feel performed, bounced, and aged in a really controlled way. Think of this as working in layers of imperfection. The sub stays disciplined, the riff can drift a little, the grit layer can breathe a bit more, and the arrangement can carry some of that old school push and pull that makes jungle and early DNB feel so human and so urgent. We're going to cover MIDI humanization, velocity shaping, tone movement, saturation, tape style instability, resampling, and then the edit side of things. Because honestly, that's where the vibe really starts to lock in. So first, start with a bass source that can take some abuse. You want something harmonically rich, but not already cooked. A great starting point is wavetable with a saw and square blend, maybe operator with a square wave, or analog with a little detune. Even a sampled bass one shot can work beautifully if it already has some attitude. If you're using wavetable, a nice starting point is saw on oscillator 1, square on oscillator 2, a small amount of detune, low unison, and a low-pass filter with a short attack and medium decay. You want the sound to have enough mid-range content that saturation and filtering actually do something interesting. Now, don't write a static note. In jungle and old-school DNB, the mid-bass usually behaves like a riff. It should answer the drums, leave space, and have a bit of conversational energy. Build a 4-bar phrase with a repeated hook note, one or two short fills, maybe a call-and-response shape, and some rests that let the break breathe. A very effective approach is to make bar 1 your statement, bar 2 a variation, bar 3 a bit more open, and bar 4 a little fill or pickup into the next phrase. That's the kind of phrasing that starts to feel like a real player, even if it's coming from MIDI. Now here's where the humanize framework begins. We're not just hitting randomize and hoping for the best. We're being intentional. Open the MIDI clip in Ableton Live 12 and start nudging notes slightly early or late. We're talking tiny shifts here, just a few milliseconds. The goal is to create micro-push and micro-pull, not sloppy timing. Keep the notes that lock with the kick and snare a little tighter, and let the ghost notes or fills drift more freely. A really useful trick is to create a few versions of the same bass bar. One can sit slightly early, one dead on the grid, and one slightly behind. Then alternate those versions across the arrangement. That gives the listener the sense that the phrase is being played, not copied and pasted. Next, vary note length. Short stabs can be tightened or loosened a little. Longer notes can be trimmed just enough to create movement between the hits. Repeated notes are especially important here. If one repeat is offset by even 5 to 15 milliseconds, it can suddenly feel much more human. Velocity is the next big piece. And velocity is not just about volume. In a lot of instruments, it changes tone, filter response, and how hard the saturation stage gets hit. That means your dynamics are also shaping the character of the bass. A good working range is something like 90 to 110 for main notes, 45 to 75 for ghost notes, and 115 to 127 for accents. If your synth responds to velocity, map it to filter cutoff or drive amount. That way, harder notes get brighter and more aggressive, while quieter notes sit back more naturally. You can also use Ableton's velocity MIDI effect to compress or expand dynamics if the patch is too spiky. Keep any random variation subtle. This is a key teacher note here. Use contrast, not constant motion. If everything is moving all the time, nothing feels special. Now let's build the grit chain. Start with EQ8. Don't overthink it. You may want a gentle high pass around 25 to 35 Hz if the very low rumble is unnecessary, and maybe a small cut in the 200 to 400 Hz area if the bass is getting cloudy. But don't start carving too hard yet. First get the character right, then add saturator. A few dB of drive can go a long way here. Turn on soft clip if needed, and level match carefully so you're not fooled by loudness. This is one of the simplest ways to get warm density and that slightly tape-fed harmonic grit. If you have Roar in Live 12, it's an excellent choice for more controlled dirt. Use it gently. You don't need it to scream. Just enough drive to thicken the harmonics and add a worn edge. After that, auto filter is your movement tool. You can use slow cutoff automation, a low resonance sweep, or a subtle envelope follower if you want the notes to open slightly based on how hard they hit. This is where the bass starts to breathe. If you want width, use chorus ensemble or facer flanger, but be very careful. In bass music, width is a luxury, not a default. Keep the low end mono, and if you widen anything, make sure it's only the upper mid layer, not the sub. Drum bus can also be useful for added punch and grit, but only a little. A small amount of drive or crunch can make the mid bass feel like it's being pushed through a worn speaker or a dirty sampler. Just don't let it take over. Utility is your final control stage. Narrow the low layer, keep the fundamental centered, and make sure the stereo image is behaving. At this point, it's a great move to split the bass into two layers. This is one of the biggest improvements you can make for DNB workflow. Keep one layer clean and focused on the low end. Minimal saturation. Mono. This is your weight and foundation. Then create a mid layer with a high pass around 120 to 180 Hz. This is where you put the drive, the motion, the grit, the chorus if needed, and the humanized imperfection. That way you can distort the character without wrecking the sub. If you want a more tape-style instability, think small and subtle. Not wobble, not obvious modulation, just tiny movement. A slow filter drift over 4 to 8 bars, a little pitch drift on a duplicate layer, a small amount of stereo movement on the highs only. That's the kind of stuff that feels like a bouncing piece of hardware rather than a plug-in preset. Another great move is to resample the bass to audio. This is where the old-school spirit really comes alive. Route the bass track to an audio track set to resampling, record 4 to 8 bars, and then consolidate the bass take. Once it's audio, you can nudge sections by tiny amounts, trim note starts, change tails, add fades, and make it feel even more like a real performance. This is a huge point. Sometimes the most convincing humanization comes after resampling, not before. You can make one version slightly worse on purpose, with tiny offsets or a slightly rougher tone, and then blend it quietly underneath the cleaner take. That layer of controlled imperfection can be magic. Now let's talk arrangement, because jungle and old-school DNB are all about motion and evolution. You do not want the bass to stay in one state for too long. Use arrangement edits as punctuation. Mute the bass for half a bar before the drop. Introduce the mid-bass only after the break has set up. Vary the riff every 4 or 8 bars. Add a fill bar before a snare hit or a phrase restart. Automate the filter so it closes down during transitions. Add reverse reverb or a tiny atmosphere hit into a new bass section. These small moves make the whole track feel authored, not looped. A strong arrangement arc might be something like this. Filtered hints in the intro, full riff with cleaner grid in section A, a dirtier and shorter version in section B, sub removed during the break, then a more varied and slightly more aggressive version for the second drop. That contrast is a big part of the energy. Here are some common mistakes to watch for. First, don't overhumanize the low end. The sub should stay more stable than the mid bass. If the whole foundation is drifting around, the groove starts to feel sloppy instead of alive. Second, don't slam saturation into an unshaped sound. Control the tone first. EQ before and after saturation can be very helpful if needed. Third, don't make everything wide. Great in solo, bad in the club. Usually, keep the bottom centered. Fourth, don't overuse chorus on the full bass. It can smear the groove fast. And fifth, don't mistake randomness for feel. Old school movement is intentional. It has shape. A few advanced ideas can really elevate this approach. Try microshift phrase rotation. Make 3 or 4 versions of the same one bar motif. Slightly early, centered, slightly late, and one with a clipped ending. Then rotate them through an 8-bar section. That gives the impression of a bassist changing finger pressure and note length. Try accent laddering too. Instead of random velocity changes, create a repeating pattern like medium, strong, light, strongest. That kind of shape works beautifully for rolling bass lines. You can also use register drift. Move one note up or down an octave every 4 or 8 bars. Even one tiny register change can make the riff feel like it's evolving. If you want a more dusty, dubplate-like vibe, create a parallel worn edge lane. Band past the mids, saturate harder, compress it a bit more, and roll off the lows. Blend it in quietly. It can add a lot of personality without ruining clarity. And don't forget the power of bar end edits. One of the fastest ways to stop repetition from sounding copied is to change only the last 1/8 or 1/16 of a bar. Add a pickup note, drop the last note, shorten the release, or leave a rest. That tiny mutation can make the whole loop feel alive. For your practice exercise, build a 4-bar humanized mid-bass loop using only 2 to 4 notes at first. Add one ghost note per bar. Humanize the timing just a little. Vary the velocities between the main and ghost notes. Put a EQ8, saturator, auto filter, and utility on the chain. Duplicate the track, make a mid layer with a high pass filter, then resample it to audio. Edit one bar so it has a slightly different ending. Loop it against a breakbeat and listen to how it breathes. If you want to push it further, make three versions of the bass: clean, warm grit, and dirty drop version. Then arrange them across 16 bars so the track gradually ages and becomes rougher as it moves forward. So to recap, start with a harmonically rich source, write a riff instead of a static note, humanize timing and velocity with intention, split the bass into low and mid layers, use stock Ableton devices for saturation and movement, resample to audio, and then use arrangement edits to keep the jungle energy evolving. That's the core of the mid-bass humanize framework. Make it feel performed, bounced, and slightly worn, while keeping the low-end discipline. That balance is what gives jungle and old-school D&B basslines their character. Musical, gritty, and alive.